The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This is Sean Callahan, co-author of The Big Data Driven Business, and you are listening to the Marketing Book Podcast.
Welcome to the Marketing Book Podcast, helping you keep up with the smartest thinking in the quickly changing field of modern marketing. And now, here's your host, Douglas Burdett.
Hello, thanks for joining me on the Marketing Book Podcast, the goal of which is to help you discover new ideas about what's working in modern marketing. Don't worry about taking notes. You can find links to everything we discussed in the show notes at marketingbookpodcast.com. Today, I'm joined by Sean Callahan. We're going to talk about the book he has co-authored with Russell Glass entitled The Big Data-Driven Business, How to Use Big Data to Win Customers, Beat Competitors, and Boost Profits. Sean Callahan is the Senior Manager for Content Marketing at LinkedIn. Formerly, he was a marketing director at Bizzo, which was acquired by LinkedIn, and he was an editor and reporter at Crane Communications. His freelance journalism has appeared in the New York Times, the Washington Post, Chicago Tribune, Chicago Sun-Times, Notre Dame Magazine, you can tell where he went to college, Salon.com, and SportsIllustrated.com. Sean, congratulations on the Big Data-Driven Business, and welcome to the Marketing Book Podcast.
Oh, thanks, Douglas. I'm really happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
I want to read one thing from the very beginning of the book. A quote, "The companies that most effectively use big data to gain insight into their customers and act on that data will win." Sean, what is the story that led to this book?
Well, it was, I co-wrote the book with, Russell Glass, who was the CEO of Bizzo, and now he's the head of, product at LinkedIn, LinkedIn Marketing Solutions. And, Russ, through Bizzo, you know, built this business that was based on data. We had, data on more than 100 million business people. We knew, anonymously what their job title was, what industry they were in, what size company they work for. And with that data, we could help B2B companies and also high consideration consumer companies, B2C companies, reach their target market at scale online. And we could also help them identify the people who are coming to their website, you know, based again on these business demographics that we had, the job title, the industry size, industry and the size of the company. And with this data, we were really helping a lot of businesses really improve their marketing, become much more efficient and more effective. And but we found that while we were helping a lot of companies, there was a huge number of companies that simply weren't aware or weren't equipped to take advantage of data and couldn't really see the advantages that it would bring to their marketing and helping with their efficiency and effectiveness. So Russ had the idea to write this book, and we worked on it together. And the idea was to show companies of all sizes in all industries that if they use data, even in a very small way, they could see outsized results and really outperform their competitors if they use data to really understand who their customers were, who their prospects should be, and how to reach them.
This story reminds me of the book Inbound Marketing, written by the HubSpot co-founders, Dharmesh Shah and Brian Halligan, where they wrote that book because there was so much to explain, just like your story. And it's gone on to a second edition, so hopefully yours will continue like that as well.
Well, we hope so.
Yeah, so big data. I hear that term, and it reminds me of, I don't know, maybe around the mid-90s when people were saying, all right, what is this internet thing? Do you remember that commercial that was done for the Super Bowl where that showed Bryant Gumbel and Katie Couric?
Yeah, from the Today Show,
yeah,
right?
For the Today. Yeah, they were saying, all right, what is internet? Sometimes I wonder if we're there as it relates to the term big data.
Well, yeah. I mean, the thing I always say about big data is that, you know, it's those seven letters really cast an intimidating shadow. Mm-hmm. And I think they don't need to. I think the term itself is kind of scary. You know, big implies that it's for big companies or that there's a lot of expense. And data implies, you know, oh, we've got to buy a lot of software and we've got to hire a bunch of different people. And it sounds very complicated. I will wait until, you know, people figure this out. But the thing that we try to get across here, we have a different sort of broader view of what big data is. I think narrowly defined, big data is using Hadoop to, you know, comb through unstructured data and find these amazing insights. And that is kind of reserved for larger companies.
Hadoop is?
I'm sorry?
You mentioned Hadoop. What is that?
It's a software that goes through unstructured data and is able to really organize it so that companies can get insight into what the data means. It's just so powerful that it's able to, you know, draw conclusions about what the data, where the data is trending.
Okay. I read the book. I read the book. I just didn't remember that word.
Yeah.
I don't see it in the index. So, okay. I'm not going to be tested on that. I'm sorry, but that's what I interrupted you. I'm sorry. Continue.
No problem. So yeah, I think that's what people kind of think of. Like this is complicated. We'll leave this to other companies. But I think even the smallest businesses can take advantage of, let's just call it data. They can analyze who's using Google Analytics or other tools, tools from LinkedIn, in fact, that can show them who is coming to their website and what they're doing when they come to the website. And it can give them insight into, you know, who their customers are and who their customers should be. They can also sort of comb through the data they already have on their customers and figure out who their best customers are and what those best customers share in terms of characteristics, like are they from a specific industry? Are they in a certain revenue category? Maybe they have a certain software that other companies don't have. And when you get these insights, you can, by combing through your data, you can then begin to see who your best prospects should be and really aim your marketing and sales at those prospects mm-hmm. that share those same characteristics with your best customers.
Right, right. Well, Sean, I have a confession to make, and I'm not just saying that because you are a graduate of Notre Dame. I in my subconscious, you know, you always say you're not supposed to judge a book by its cover, but I got the book, and before I started reading it, for some reason I started thinking, oh, a book with the words big data on the cover, it's going to be a lot of ones and zeros.
Right.
Or I thought, oh yeah, this is going to be like those nice calculus textbooks I had in college. Well, okay, that's half the confession. The other part is the book is not that way at all. It's a very enjoyable read, and it's got a lot of background and history on how big data came about, like the technology behind it. And it also, I'm sure this was one of your goals, it really demystifies big data. A lot of companies have more data than they actually already realize, and they don't have to use every bit of it, but they can use it to have some very good some good insights. And there was one analogy you used in the book where you talk about big data is like radar and night vision goggles to the military. Just gives them a lot of insights. It gives them a lot more information, a competitive advantage. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Sure. And I knew that metaphor would appeal to a guy from artillery marketing, for sure.
Right. So, thank you. Yeah, don't think we don't appreciate these things.
So yeah, I mean, you're using tools like Google Analytics, which I mentioned, tools like Marketo or Pardot or Eloqua marketing automation software, you're really able to gain insights into your customers, which is what this book is really all about. We're really, I guess, preaching maybe the idea that the customer-focused, data-driven business is going to be the one that wins. You really need to analyze who your customers are using data. And if you can do that, you can serve them better. You know who they are. You know what they want. You can even anticipate what sort of products they might need and begin to develop them before your customers even know they need it, and certainly before your competitors know that your customers are going to need this kind of product.
Mm-hmm. Now, Sean, I once worked on Madison Avenue for a number of years, and I really didn't appreciate how much fun you made of people who went on three martini lunches. That was a big part of my my heritage. Now, I never actually had three at a lunch. I wasn't that good. But how, in the book you talk about that, of course, how did the internet kill the three martini lunch? Can you tell that story?
Well, sure. I think that, the three, I've made the case, some of my colleagues, Jen Augustin at Bizzo and now at LinkedIn, we collaborated on a piece about the three martini lunch and how sort of content marketing has become the three martini lunch. It goes back to in those days, you're talking about the Mad Men days and even a little bit later, the salesperson sort of controlled the customer and lead nurturing. They called up the customer, they sent them brochures, they took them to lunch, and it was about, gaining that person's trust, being entertaining, telling them about the industry and where it's headed, and then finally talking specifically about the product that you wanted to sell them, that you thought could help them. Now, as the buyer's journey has changed and buyers don't have to identify themselves and don't have to offer themselves up to be sold to and nurtured by sales, whether over the phone or in person, now that customer can, or that prospect can, remain anonymous and search online and find out all the information they want about the product, about the competitors, about the pricing. They can consult their peers in social media. They can go to review sites. And doing that, Forrester says that up to 90% of that process takes place anonymously and before a prospect reaches out to a salesperson. So that 90% of the process, of the sales process, is now the domain of marketing. Their marketing is the only group inside the company that can target these people as they move around the web, even if they're remaining anonymous, with very specific targeted messages based on who that person is, their demographics, and also based on where they've gone, their behavior online.
Their digital body language, yeah.
Yeah, it's a huge shift.
Well, and I think also three martinis are great, but the real reason that the person went on that lunch was the leverage that the salesperson had in terms of information.
Yes.
And that leverage is gone, and the best example is when you see somebody go to buy a car, and they know more about the car they want to buy than the poor guy on the lot trying to answer their questions.
Absolutely. That's definitely an example that really drives this home to people that, before, 20 years ago, the car buying process was just a terrible, terrible experience. You didn't have any information. The dealer and the car salesman controlled all the information about the car, what the invoice price was, how it's performing in the market. Now you can find all that information online. You can consult people who've already bought the car. You know exactly what a fair price is, and you walk in, you've had done all your research, and it's a much more equal kind of process than it used to be before. It was asymmetrical, with all the power lying in the dealer, and it doesn't work that way anymore in the car dealing process or in the B2B buying process.
That's right. So, can you explain how big data and these changes you just outlined are actually pulling marketing and sales, two groups that have historically feuded? How is it pulling them to closer together, whether they like it or not?
Yes. Well, yeah, it's definitely bringing them closer together, and especially working in companies that are installing a marketing automation software. Because when you install a marketing automation software, you're becoming data-driven. And the idea behind putting in a product like this, like an Eloqua or a Marketo, is you want to nurture leads, but you want to really identify what is a good lead. Using data once and for all, it's sort of this combination of business demographics, who this person is, what industry they're in, what their job title is, what kind of what size business they work for, and the combination of what they're doing when they're online. Are they reading your emails? Are they visiting deep into your website and visiting product data pages on your website?
Are they exhibiting behavior of people who have tended to buy from you in the past?
Yes, exactly. So using the past, you can sort of understand the data, what the behavior means, and sort of read their digital body language is something that Steve Woods kind of coined that term, and he wrote a book about it a few years ago. He was one of the founders of Eloqua. And, you know, with that, marketing to kind of determine what is a good lead, marketing and sales, when they're implementing this marketing automation system, they have to sit down in the same room and come to an agreement on what a good lead looks like. And in so many cases, once this is up and running, sales is finally happy with the leads it's getting, and marketing is finally seeing sales follow up on the leads to the degree that they want them to.
Yeah, I think for the longest time, you'd hear of salespeople saying these leads are crap. And of course, right. I love the fact that you mention the movie Glenn Clary, Glenn Ross in your book.
Right.
They say the leads are weak. And then, you know, then the salespeople would be saying, yeah, but those guys are irresponsible. They're not following up on anything. Now they're only getting the good leads when this is done correctly, or at least halfway correctly.
Yes.
And you talk about how the, see if I can find that term, predictive lead scoring business now is thriving.
Yes. I mean, they're, you know, first I want to return to Glenn Ross. I think that's one of the easiest ways for a marketer to bond with a salesperson is to watch that movie and feel the salesperson's pain. It's mm-hmm. definitely one of the best movies about business that's ever been made. But as far as the predictive lead scoring, this is really interesting stuff. In the book, I mention of several of these companies like Mintigo, Sixth Sense. The one I focus on the most is a company called Lattice Engines, and they're able to look at both online and offline data, and using big data, they sort of process all this data and figure out what your best customers and the prospects most likely to buy, what characteristics they share. And the one of the most interesting examples of this in the book is Brian Carden, the CMO at Lattice Engines, talks about Juniper Networks, which is sells routers.
Oh, right.
And mm-hmm. I think this is a great example of how potentially this can work. Is they look through their data, and what they found is the companies who are most likely to buy are the companies that have signed a lease for new office space in the past 90 days. And the reason is, if you sign new office, at least for new office space, you probably need to buy new routers for the technology you need to set up in that new space.
And that information might not have been something the lead capture, the landing page would have asked for, but they could then start to go in that direction. And that was such a good example of the night vision goggles, where suddenly they were able to see all these connections. So
yeah.
There is one sentence in the book, well, there were a few, but this one made me laugh out loud. In fact, it woke the dog up. He was sleeping on the floor. And it said, it was about the section on implementing a big data plan, you know, taking people through that. And the sentence said, when considering your marketing staff, think less about rating art schools and more about setting up a recruiting booth at a Star Trek convention.
Right.
So
yeah.
How is big data... can you explain how it's changing the marketing department so quickly?
Well, yeah, it's definitely changing the marketing department. If you work in a modern marketing department, you definitely have people who are software oriented, who are running the marketing automation software and other softwares that marketers are using these days. And it's no longer sort of this refuge for creative people who wanted to be novelists or painters or what have you.
You said but that now some companies referred to them at marketing department as the toy department?
Yes, yes.
That was one I'd never heard.
Oh, yeah, no, that's what... I worked at a B2B agency a long time ago, and a lot of marketers complain that's how they were viewed as the toy department.
Yeah, sort of the arts and crafts party planners. Yeah, there's still probably a lot of that.
Exactly, exactly. But now, I think the best marketing departments are split between those creative people, those right-brain people, and the left-brain people, the people who are interested in technology, interested in data, interested in research. And the best really combine those two for the best of both worlds.
Mm-hmm. And in the book, he profiled an example of a young person who's coming into marketing. I think he had degrees in computer science, marketing, and psychology, something like that. Great example.
Yeah, no, it's a different kind of people who are coming there, and people who can start from scratch can really form a marketing department that looks much different than a marketing department you would have seen before. In fact, one of the companies we talk about, Zendesk, they kind of started from scratch a few years back, and they built their marketing department around analytics and technology on one side and content marketing on the other. Mm-hmm. And merging those two, they were able to tell, you know, what kind of content their customers were interested in.
I think it's harder for the big companies where there's so much momentum. It's harder for them to change.
Absolutely. There's so many silos and so many people you need to get on board and so much legacy technology. In many ways, it's easier for a smaller company to ramp up because mm-hmm. they have, you know, less walls that they have to tear down.
Yeah. Sean, if readers took only one thing away from the book, what would you hope it would be?
I think that readers need to understand that this is not going away and that they really need to build their business to be data-driven and customer-focused. And you can do this no matter what size company you're in, no matter what industry you're in. Even the oldest industries like agriculture can really take advantage of data.
Mm-hmm. And in the book, you profile several companies that are very focused on their customers and the data, and as a result, they're thriving. And those that are ignoring it, who have perished, or are struggling like crazy, and probably not going to make it.
Yes.
So before we wrap up, let me ask you a few questions that are popular with the listeners. Is there a recent marketing book that you read that you might recommend?
Sure. I read. I'll give you a couple. I'm a content marketer. So I really love books on content. They really help me a lot. And one of them was Content Rules by Anne Hanley. And she had a co-author who
C.C.
drawing
Chapman.
A blank gone right now.
C.C. Chapman. Then,
yes.
I
that's
got
right.
I got your
Chapman.
Back.
There you go. Sorry, Mr. Chapman. And then the other is a colleague of mine, Jason Miller at LinkedIn. He wrote a fantastic book called Welcome to the Funnel,
yes.
Proven Tactics to Turn Your Social and Content Marketing Up to 11. And it's an amazing book because it's an excellent explanation of how to implement content marketing. But it also is so entertaining because he is a rock and roll fanatic and he uses like quotes from Jim Morrison and David Bowie throughout the book to mm-hmm. drive home his points. It's really a great read.
It's a great book. I'd love to have him on the show if you, you know, put a good word in for me. I know he's a
sure
colleague
will.
Of yours. But I have mentioned his book at presentations I've given, and just the title alone, the whole audience gets it. Welcome
yep.
to the Funnel. You know, like they understand that it's a reference to...
Yeah, Welcome to the Jungle.
By...
Guns N' Roses.
Guns N' Roses. Guns N' Roses. Sorry. Sounds like a couple of old guys.
That's right.
Sorry to you kids out there. Okay. And are there any ones, any marketing or business related books that you're looking forward to diving into?
Yeah, I'm going to read another Anne Hanley book, Everybody Writes, which is another book. And my takeaway is one of the messages is that, you know, you need to get, the rest of your company, not just the marketing department, supporting the content marketing push.
Yeah, it's a great, great book. It's a Wall Street Journal bestseller. She was one of the first guests on the show. It's also a very, very funny book. She's a very
yeah.
funny person.
She's great.
And that book is one of those books that so many other authors talk about. It's well worth a read. And I thought it was very brave of someone to write a book about writing, but she's the one that could do it. So how do you continue your business education? There's a lot to keep up with, obviously. What do you read? Who do you follow? What do you listen to? How does Sean Callahan do it?
I'm responsible for, tweeting on several of our handles at LinkedIn B2B mm-hmm. and B2B social media. So I'm constantly combing the web for good material that I can point people to. But, you know, consistently, there are several great sites that deliver great insights day after day. And one of them is HubSpot. Eloqua and Marketo do a great job as well. And Social Media Examiner. I don't think you can go wrong with any of those. And, you know, we were talking about Ann Hanley. Marketing Profs also does a really fantastic job.
Yeah, it's there's an embarrassment of riches out there, and there are some there's just phenomenal content, and there is so much that people can learn in a short amount of time, but they've got to do they kind of have to do it themselves. But it's it's there, and I hope to spread the word, you know, of all the books and the blogs and everything out there that people can get a hold of. How can listeners find out more about you and your book?
Well, it's available on Amazon, and I'm writing every week on the LinkedIn Marketing Solutions blog, which is at marketing.linkedin.com/blog. And there's a lot of great material there, too. I, you know, hope we're doing a good job, too.
You are. And I've even shared some of the articles. This is going to be a very rich show notes episode. A lot of really good stuff to link to. The name of the book is The Big Data Driven Business, How to Use Big Data to Win Customers, Beat Competitors, and Boost Profits. The authors are Russell Glass and Sean Callahan. Sean, thank you very much for being on the Marketing Book Podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me, Douglas. Really had fun. Thanks again.
And that closes the book on another episode of the Marketing Book Podcast. Links to everything mentioned are in the show notes at marketingbookpodcast.com. And while you're there, you can subscribe to the podcast newsletter to get notified of every new episode, its show notes, links, and other useful things. Also, at marketingbookpodcast.com, there are about 20 free marketing ebooks on a wide variety of topics that lots of people have found helpful. If you're one of the people who've left an iTunes or Stitcher review, I really appreciate it, and it has more impact than you might realize. A one-sentence review shoots the podcast way up in the listings. Finally, I get such a kick out of hearing from my listeners. It really makes my day. To send a message, just go to marketingbookpodcast.com and click on the Contact Podcast button. Got an idea or suggestion? Maybe I'm doing something wrong? Let me know. Thanks again for listening to the Marketing Book Podcast. Till next time.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
That doesn't sound good.
Paper shredder's jammed, but I think I fixed it.
Oh, well, try shredding these $50 bills then.
Seems like it's working.
Better try another $400.
Stop. Instead of using money, use regular paper. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.